Reality Bites in the Bronx.
This investigation is going forward for almost a year. And the devices themselves were not real bombs.
The arrest of four suspects with fake bombs and unusable weapons still strikes fear into two New York communities. A terror group chooses targets and tries to strike. Who helped them and why? When investigation and participation collide, a sleeper cell awakes. Time to get up. It's The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI.
Good morning, everyone. It's Thursday, May 21st. We're going to get you fully updated on this terror story overnight. I'm John Hockenberry, joined by Catherine Lamford. Good morning, Catherine.
Hey, John. Coming up this hour, we're also going to look at elections in Iran, the arraignment in New York today of a piracy suspect, and Michael Vick's release from prison. Also, the gender gap and happiness. All this and more, but first, these headlines.
And in the headlines, four terror suspects due in court today, accused of a plot targeting New York. Investigators say the men wanted to bomb Jewish targets in the Bronx and shoot down military planes. They say the men never got close to carrying out the attacks. Undercover agents infiltrated the group early on, long before the group could get its hands on real bombs or missiles. President Obama delivers a closely watched speech later this morning. He'll explain plans for closing the Guantanamo Bay prison camp. A bipartisan group of senators is blocking his path, though. This week, nearly every member in the Senate voted to keep Gitmo open and block transfer of detainees to American prisons. Republican Senate Leader Mitch McConnell says senators don't want to close Guantanamo until the Obama administration explains where the prisoners would go.
Because the administration has no plan for what to do with the 240 detainees at Guantanamo, it would be irresponsible and dangerous for the Senate to appropriate the money to close it.
We're awaiting details from Barack Obama when he speaks later today. Catherine?
Okay. In fact, some of those details are leaking out already. Several reports say the administration will try a top terror suspect from Guantanamo in New York. The man is accused of aiding the 1998 bombings of American embassies in Africa. He'd be the first Gitmo detainee brought to the U.S. and the first to stand trial in a civilian criminal court. Now, the president isn't the only one talking terror today, John. Former Vice President Dick Cheney is going to speak at a think tank just minutes after President Obama. As you know, he has harshly criticized the current administration's stance on terror and the plans to close Guantanamo.
Fresh economic data due out this morning. New weekly jobless claims. Forecasters expect the filings to rise a bit. Watch for a fatwa on Facebook later today. Indonesian clerics are meeting to talk about online behavior. Some in the clergy want to ban the social networking site. They say it encourages sexual sin. Indonesia, you may recall, is the world's most populous Muslim nation. The S&P and Dow both slipped about 0.5% yesterday. The S&P starts trading at 903. The Dow kicks off at 84.20. And you have an interesting story later on in the program, right?
Yeah, the gender gap on happiness. Women make strides in the workplace, but do they lose on the happiness meter?
So strides are a bum out. There apparently is interesting social evidence that as women make gains, they lose happiness. Do you buy this in your own life? Give us a call. If it's true, tell us why in your life. If it's not, give us the counterexample at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Or mytake@thetakeaway.org.
You made
strides, but are you happier?
I'm happy to be here.
Good. Glad to hear
it. Yeah.
The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and by the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at knightfoundation.org.
You're listening to The Takeaway.
Good morning, everyone. John Hockenberry here with Catherine Lamfer. So the four suspects are in custody, and the details of an alleged plot to bomb two synagogues in New York City, those details are beginning to emerge.
They have bags that were set up, they believe to be bombs, carrying about 30 pounds of explosives, what they believe to be explosives. Here we had vehicles staged by us, by the Joint Terrorism Task Force. They would place a satchel or a bag in a vehicle in front of the temple down the block, and then two more bags into a vehicle parked in front of the synagogue here.
That's Joseph Demarest, who's the assistant director in charge of the FBI's New York division, describing what the individuals had in custody when they were apprehended last night at about 9 o'clock. They were brought into court at about 1 and are expected to appear in White Plains, New York, later on today. Joining us now is Bob Henley, WNYC reporter coverer of all things security here in New York. Bob, thanks for being with us.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Joining us also from London is MJ Gohel, Executive Director of the Asia Pacific Foundation, an independent security and global terrorism think tank in London. MJ, thanks for coming back to the program.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Bob, I'd like to begin with you. This is a plot that is certainly alarming. The members of the both communities, I believe Newburg, New York, and these synagogues in the Bronx that were believed to be targeted are upset by what happened here. But what do we know so far?
Well, I guess it's being called aspirational in the sense that at no point, according to law enforcement, did the folks that were involved in this was four individuals, James Cromite, David Williams, Anta Williams, and Laguerre Payen, three believed to be U.S. citizens, also believed to be Muslim. And one of the things that's emerged, however, that I'm interested in is that there still is a phrase throughout the complaint that says, and others known and unknown. That's two or three times in the complaint that's stated, so it may even be ongoing. These gentlemen were with the help of a confidential informant, and that's key because this surfaced as a result of a confidential informant who'd been working with the FBI for 6 years prior to this event, back in June, going to an FBI agent and saying, I have this individual in the person of Mr. Cromite, who is of Afghani descent, who has expressed a kind of moral equivalency, if you will, between civilian deaths that we've seen in Iraq and Afghanistan at the hands of the U.S. military to something that he might want to do here in the United States. His family had roots in Afghanistan. And so, again, it's the quote-unquote aspirational. But one thing they
focus on that aspirational bit. So basically someone with a knowledge of intent tipped off the FBI, and then they infiltrated, and at this point a plot began to emerge that is aspirational. What does that mean?
Aspirational means that they didn't actually have the wherewithal within their group without the help of the federal government to get access to the Stinger missile, which they wanted to use in close proximity to Stewart Air Force Base, a military base, and also a commercial
airport. That's in Newburgh, New York?
Right. They wanted to take down the military cargo that goes back and forth there between Afghanistan, Iraq, and Orange County, New York. And they did not have access to IEDs until that's like 30 pounds of C-40 with an explosive device. They did not have access of their own to that. That was something that the government
supplied.
Facilitated. Mm. Right.
Well, that raises some alarming questions. Let's hold on those for one moment. Let me bring MJ Gohel in here. The complaint apparently alludes to Jaish-e-Mohammed, the group that these individuals claimed that they were members of. Now, is that a specific name or is that a generic name that might be familiar to terrorists around the world and not necessarily link these people to any sort of network, MJ?
Well, the Jaish-e-Mohammed is a banned terrorist group. It's based in Pakistan. It's very closely affiliated to Al-Qaeda. It's led by an individual whose name is Maulana Masood Azhar, who was released from a prison in a jail in India after an aircraft had been hijacked by terrorists. This is a very dangerous group. He's supposed to be under house arrest at the moment, but he is walking around Pakistan and recruiting people. Apparently, this particular cell in New York wanted to be a part of the JEM, but the details are still emerging.
Well, let's focus on that for a moment. I mean, it's conceivably possible, and Al-Qaeda worked this way, that you can say, hey, I'm the Jaish-e-Mohammed chapter here in Newburgh, New York, and there's no connection. These are kind of franchise operations in a certain sense. Is that conceivable here? Again, we're speculating.
Yes, it is. It's more than possible. A number of groups have established themselves across the world, calling themselves Al-Qaeda this or Al-Qaeda that. There could be connections going across to Pakistan or to other countries. But what is worrying really here is the fact that those security services are sealing borders and watching the airports. We are seeing the birth of homegrown terrorists, people who are already resident within a country. And
right.
We've seen this happening in Europe and in the UK. And of course, sometimes these individuals are converted in the prison system, radicalized. And it takes very little for a plot to go from aspirational to operational. Sometimes all they're waiting for are the weapons or the explosives.
Well, and in this case, the government may have supplied them here, according to this plot. Bob Henley, we've got three American citizens among the arrested men here, correct?
Right. And also, though, it's important to keep in mind that with the exception of a 9mm handgun, which the complaint refers to that these individuals were able to purchase in Brooklyn, everything was inert. That is, it was a prop.
Right.
You know what I mean? It was like from, you know, the prop room, so to speak. But there is a question here about the fact that generally we've not seen in the United States this kind of hostility and this moral equivalency made between what's happening in Iraq and Afghanistan and what these individuals think needs to happen here in the United States. In London and in Europe, there has been that alienation. The social theory around this is that Muslims in the U.S. are better integrated in society as a whole. This kind of thing does give you pause because, indeed,
right.
they did, in this case at least, the police let it unwind enough that these individuals did actually act out on their fantasy and believed that they were placing these bombs up in Riverdale. And that's going to make proving this case a lot easier in court.
All right, but the one little detail here, Bob, and we probably don't know the answer to this, who picked the targets?
Well, they believe that this surfaced from them in the language that
they
is in the complaint. That's what they're saying. And they also have documented within the complaint from their perspective that they started recording these things in October. And this is going to be very important. This started in June, and then they started recording it in October. So a good defense counselor, to your point, John, is going to try to muddy the waters here to make it appear that these guys would not have thought of this on their own. And that's where the credibility of the confidential informant is credible. If this guy has any kind of criminal background, that's a problem for the case.
MJ Gohill, before we go, what do you make of these prosecutorial tactics, early infiltration, and what appears to be a fairly direct involvement in the unfolding of the plot?
Well, it's I think it's a huge challenge for the security services. It's important for security services to penetrate these cells, to find out who are the plotters, what their intentions are. And often the security services then become a part of the plot, as it were, which then can weaken the case later on. And the challenge for the security services is that do they just simply watch a cell with its plot unfolding? Do they penetrate it? And at what time do they act? If they act too quickly and arrest them too early, the convictions may not follow because there may not be enough evidence. If they wait too long, maybe innocent lives will be put at risk. So it's very difficult for security services to know when to act. But what the final point I'd like to make very quickly is that it's interesting that they selected a Jewish synagogue. This has happened before in Turkey, in Istanbul, in Tunisia, and in Mumbai, India, very recently. So I hope this is not a pattern.
Right. Bob Henley, where does it go from here in the minute and a half we have?
Well, it goes to White Plains, and then I think there'll be more detail about these individuals' lives so we get a sense of who they really are. And that confidential informant, the Bright Klieg-likes, are going to be on it because in the past the government has taken hits, both here in England, when that confidential informant turns out not to be – there's some aspect of it that makes it look like the government really went beyond being proactive, and that's the challenge
right.
for them.
Any sense of how the communities are feeling this morning, both in Newburgh and in the Bronx?
Well, I know the mayor was up there. It's going to be up there. Mayor Bloomberg was up there, up there in Riverdale. This has happened before. This is something that, the Jewish community life is an integral part of New York City and the entire region. And this is a concern. This is something where you see, particularly in cutbacks, there's a lot of concern about private security guards and the rest needing to be in these places because the government can't be everywhere.
All right, Bob Henley, WNYC reporter, on the story of an alleged plot to bomb two New York synagogues in the Bronx. Four men in custody. They'll be arraigned formally in White Plains, New York, later today. And MJ Gohill, executive director of the Asia-Pacific Foundation, Independent Security and Global Terrorism Think Tank, spoke with us from London. MJ and Bob, thanks so much.
Thanks, John.
So it'll be very interesting to see. Apparently the mayor is going to be
speaking. I was just going to say, we should point out that Mayor Bloomberg is going to be speaking in about half an hour,
right.
I believe, up in Riverdale.
And we'll have full updates on that all through the morning.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MYTAKE.
869-8253.